Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my hands of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbors, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. I am your host. I am Memphis. You can follow along with me on Twitter at DWZMemphis. And we are back. We are back with another follow-up episode of The Contractor. Tonight, I have Dallas from the mean streets of Kansas City. He is going to follow up with us on his roster from the 2020 season. Before I do, I want to make sure to tell you to follow along with the show on YouTube. If you're listening via podcast, via the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast feed, you can also find this live currently for the month of January on Thursday nights. Once the Super Bowl is over, we'll be moving this to Wednesday nights. So we've got a guest waiting. I don't want to keep him waiting too long, but I want to make sure to tell you to leave the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast a five-star review. That's the fastest way to help any podcast grow. You can also leave the Dynasty Warzone a five-star review. You just go to whatever podcast player you're in, go to the ratings and reviews, leave a five-star, leave comments. It is the lifeblood to the growth of any podcast and any YouTube. Subscribe, leave reviews. It goes a lot further than you know. Just real quick, so you know what's going on with me personally, over at the Dynasty Warzone. So on Saturday, we'll be doing a DFS show with Tyler and Lou, not Tyler from the DHH, but Tyler Orginski and Lou Sherman of the Fantasy Hot Read. We'll be doing a daily fantasy breakdown for the four games this weekend. And then I will be doing the People's Propcast. I've got 11 straight winning weeks of prop bets on the Propcast. And then on Monday, we'll be doing Mock Draft Monday over on the Dynasty Warzone. So that's what's coming up, man. We got a lot of good stuff going on. Make sure you're subscribed everywhere to the Dynasty Happy Hour, the Dynasty Warzone. We have got a full season of shows lined up through the Super Bowl, and then we'll have three shows, maybe four shows a week, quote unquote off season. Now, as Dynasty players, we never take any weeks off, but I'll tell you who doesn't take any weeks off. That's my guest. This guy's name is Dallas. He is a great Dynasty owner and just a great all-around dude. Dallas, welcome back to The Contractor, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Yeah, man, it's super great to have you back. Now, this is a team you and I, what month did you and I talk? At this point, doing as many podcasts as I do, they've all kind of ran together. I know we talked about it. It's a one QB league. I'll pull it up on the screen for those watching on YouTube in just a moment. But when did you and I last talk?
I was actually one of the first episodes. I think I was like the seventh one. So I was in the early summer. I was like right around June, I believe, is when you had me on last time. So I actually had not had my rookie draft from last year yet. So my team was fully an open canvas for you to kind of give me the advice so we could work through.
Well, apparently I did a really, really nice job because I'm looking at your roster. Now, this is an ESPN dynasty based league. First of all, before we get into your roster and what kind of moves you make, how do you like running a dynasty league on ESPN? I hate to say it, I don't want to criticize anyone's platform, but I've heard mostly negative. How do you feel being a Dynasty GM on an ESPN platform?
Yeah, when it comes to ESPN, it's got a lot of the flashy stuff in a similar manner to Sleeper. They try to make it look really crisp and everything like that. They update it pretty regularly. A lot of times you'll just get like logged out. It's like, we're doing maintenance, which is kind of annoying. The one thing I hate the most about ESPN specifically is the drafting. They don't do it for dynasty and live drafting type of issues that pop up. So if something pops up, you basically have to run the entire draft through, reset everything, change the settings, then start again. There's no pause feature. There's no GM ability to basically stop that, which was really obnoxious. Other than that, it's not too bad. It's got all the same features as the other one, and I'm trying to get everyone to convert this year. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, we in our Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone, we are primarily on Sleeper because I would say half of our patron leagues are free. We play for the glory of being Dynasty great amongst our fellow, you know, Dynasty Patreons. But I've also found that if you just tell everybody, hey, look, I know it's a free league, but if we all throw in like $5 or $7, we can go on MFL. I've been in, guys, it's $7. I mean, if you drink Starbucks coffee and can literally drink McDonald's for 2 days, you too can be on MFL, and it's a lot more user-friendly. I would say one thing I would do with ESPN if I was hosting a league on ESPN is I would actually do the rookie draft like on one day. Hey, guys, we're going to have everyone here. We're going to do it live. Like, I'm sure someone in your league's got a Zoom account to where you can get all of the league members in the Zoom. Hey, we're going to do this live. If anyone wants to trade, you can, you know, jump off the Zoom and call the other owner and work out a deal. But I would actually do it on an ESPN league. I would do my rookie draft via like a Zoom call, or we're hosting this podcast on YouTube. We're hosting it on StreamYard. I think StreamYard for free, you can have up to five people. So that really wouldn't work for a dynasty league. Mm-hmm. But I know Zoom, if you pay for the Zoom account, I think it's unlimited. So you could do something like that. I would write everything down where all the rookies went, and then I would put them in as the commissioner of an ESPN league after the fact. ESPN is very cumbersome to do rookies and a dynasty draft with. But to your point, because we all have used ESPN, whether we use the app or the CPU-based desktop version, it's pretty user-friendly once you have the rosters correct. Mm-hmm. Would you agree? Yeah, I agree too.
I would 100% agree.
Yeah, so once you actually get everything done, the admin work, if you will, it actually gets pretty easy on ESPN, and it's a pretty clean presentation. I actually prefer ESPN to Sleeper. I know a lot of my fellow league mates and patrons hate the fact that I hate Sleeper. I just don't get it. I mean, if I wanted to play Pokemon Go, I'd play Pokemon Go. I don't love the avatars. I don't love what I perceive to be the silliness. I will say this. One thing about Sleeper, I love any product that takes user feedback to heart. And Sleeper, you know, I hated their trade feature initially, and they made it so much cleaner in 2020. So if I could just get rid of this stupid little gimmick, characters or GIF. I don't even know what the hell they are. Could be avatars, maybe. If we can clean that stuff up, the Pokemon looking things, and just have clean rosters, I could work with Sleeper. But this is a pretty good league. Now you had to be able to get me access to this. You had to make me a co-owner. So now I'm making trades. I hope you don't mind. No, I'm kidding. There have been no trades on your team without me. So you finished 12-1 in this team. But you didn't win the championship. Give us a little recap of 2021, kind of how things, you know, how about this? Give us a recap from when we last spoke to the start of the season. What kind of moves did you make? Who did you move? Who did you acquire? How'd your rookie draft go?
Okay. Yeah. So going after our conversation last year, we had talked a little bit about what we were going to do with the first two picks. So for me, I had made a trade earlier in that season beforehand, the 2019 season, to trade away Julio Jones. I ended up getting Jarvis Landry and the second overall pick for Julio Jones in the 109. So basically just did a flip-flop of the picks there. I ended up picking up Jonathan Taylor. And then in the second round, I actually had the 204. I came back and I took T. Higgins. So it wasn't actually on the contract that we had this conversation, but when me and you did the three-team parlay with the Bengals, the Packers, and the Chiefs in the offseason last year as well, we had the conversation. T. Higgins, for me, I'm also a fan. He was my second overall wide receiver going into last year's draft. So we talked a little bit about that when we went through Burrow, the off look basically for the Bengals last year. So I was really excited to get him. I didn't expect as much production as I got from him this year. So I was very happy. Wide receiver was already kind of my loaded position. For those of you watching on YouTube right now, you can obviously see that. But I was able to actually come back in the third round as well. I think it was at, I want to say it was like the 303. I ended up getting Laviska Shenault in the third round. I cleaned up the draft. The last two picks I took were, I took Bryan Edwards in the fourth. He's no longer on my team. And then I want to say I took a kicker, because you basically, with the way that ESPN works, you have to do keepers the same way that you would do for other ones. We're still old school with this one because it's been going on for a while. So we have team DSTs and kickers. So then I was able to basically pick up Young Ho Koo, which was the second best kicker this year. I've now rolled with him 2 years in a row, and I don't think I'm dropping him this year. He's just so consistent, and Atlanta is amazing at getting inside the 20 and then not getting touchdowns off of it. So, yeah, but that's basically how the rookie draft went. After that, my team was basically in the same spot that I was, gained a little bit of running back depth, but we had talked on the contractor last time. Quarterback was my panicking position, basically. I went into the season before Cam Newton had signed was when we did the contractor. So all I had was Aaron Rodgers as my starting quarterback, and then I had Cam Newton as my second quarterback who was not on the team, as well as two backups in Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota. So we had talked about making a couple moves for some young quarterbacks. I ended up actually making a trade in the offseason right before the season started. I traded away Deebo Samuel and who else was it? Deebo Samuel and I believe it was Andy Dalton for Dwayne Haskins, which obviously did not work out very well for me. But then I got back Will Fuller. So that ended up being a very good move for me at the beginning of the season. I ended up getting in Will Fuller, who was producing as, I believe he was the wide receiver three through the first 6 weeks of the season this last year. So that actually turned into my second trade of the season, where I ended up trading Will Fuller and James Conner, who we also talked about, right at that week six precipice where Conner had railed off five straight weeks of 18 plus points. Will Fuller was the wide receiver three, and I ended up turning that into the struggling DeAndre Swift and
hell yeah. Hopkins.
Yeah.
Hey, so, hell yeah.
Yeah. That was with another team that was also looking to compete at that given time. I had the running back depth because up until that point, Gurley was still doing work for me. So I was able to get in DeAndre Swift, get a huge upgrade for that future outlook in my running back position. And then honestly, the way that Fuller was playing, I ended up getting Hopkins. That was about the same production as Fuller was producing. If Fuller hadn't gone on that PED suspension, odds are he may have finished higher than Hopkins did at the end of the season. So I was pretty happy with the moves that I made.
Man, I'm sitting here. First of all, I'm very proud of you. You and I touch base quite a bit during the season, and we just, you know, we kind of chat. You're a very introspective guy, and you got a good grasp on the game of fantasy, and you have your own outlook. I know we had some good conversations, but to know that you battled through the struggle that was Jonathan Taylor early in the season, and you didn't sell off for pennies on the dollar. This is something that I covered with, you know, our show, The Dynasty Warzone. It's just like, guys, yeah, he was struggling there in weeks. I think it was like 7 through 9 or 6 through 9. Yeah. And it's like, what are you going to do? I mean, forget his name's Jonathan Taylor. It could be someone in this year's draft class. It could be someone in a previous draft class. So many people, when things are bad, they just want to pull the ripcord and bail. That's absolutely the worst thing that you can do because you're giving away value. And as we saw, Jonathan Taylor turned it around pretty quickly and had a great end to the season. I will not name names, but there is a very respected dynasty, we'll call him a dynasty content provider out there who's like Jonathan Taylor hashtag 101. So they're talking about him as a, maybe he doesn't get to 101, but is he a top three dynasty startup pick? And then DeAndre Swift. So you got considerably younger with this team. Now, I want to let the audience know that this team finished 12-1, but you did lose in the championship. Now, did you run into some kind of a buzzsaw of Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Calvin Ridley? Who did you run into to beat this roster? Because I'm thinking back to Week 17, Rodgers did pretty good against the Bears. Dalvin Cook, I don't quite remember. He would have played the Lions.
He had 18 points is what he had. Okay.
DK slowed down considerably during the final run of the season. DeAndre Hopkins got the
Ramsey chokeout.
Yeah, that was a tough matchup. If Fant could just stay healthy, I'm looking at your starting lineup. If you're watching on the Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel, you can see his starting lineup as we speak. And then you had JT in the flex. So what did your opponent's roster look like in the championship week? Did he have like Davante Adams and Diggs? Did he stack you or something?
Yeah. So I was going up against another 12-1 team. So it is the other juggernaut basically in our league. Full roster wise, we have the most complete teams, the most depth. We're also the two that trade the most, so it's not that surprising. We had talked a little bit before how our trades are a little bit cold turkey unless we're the ones that basically put them out. And so what I ended up coming into was, you guessed it, the first buzzsaw to hit everyone that finals week, Alvin Kamara for the 54 points straight off the bat. Now, granted, that same day I had Dalvin Cook, so I was only about 25-ish points in the hole. I ended up coming back pretty considerably with Allen Robinson immediately with that next game. So just with Allen Robinson and Dalvin Cook, basically I had equaled out his Alvin Kamara. Then he had another running back that didn't do too hot. So going into the afternoon slate, the like 3 p.m. games on Sunday, it was pretty neck and neck. And then just when I thought I was catching up, I got Davante Adams at the last second. So he had Kamara and Adams in his league, which combined for about 90 points with the two of them. And so there was really no looking back. I ended up losing by, I think, like 40 when it was all said and done. But
hey, you know, here's the thing. I've always said this as a I've been saying this as long as I've been playing. Making the playoffs takes skill. Winning a championship takes luck. If you run into a buzzsaw, this happened to me. I actually made a trade that I didn't need to make in Trade Addict 7. I traded Terry McLaurin, Cole Kmet, and the 202 for Davante Adams.
You traded away your boy.
I know, don't remind me. But it was the move that I thought I had to make. I was playing a very loaded roster. But I also had Calvin Ridley and Stephon Diggs on this particular team and Josh Allen. So I didn't need the trade for Davante Adams. And in hindsight, it's always 20-20. I wished I hadn't made the trade now. But it is what it is. So this is a great young team. But you know what they say, there is no worse form of conversation than remember when. So let's not talk about what we've done and what we've doing. Let's look at this thing and what we're doing going forward. Now, you and I talked before I hit the record button for this podcast / YouTube show. And you have all of your picks. You have the 111, the 211, the 311, the 411, the 511, etc. You have the 11th pick throughout the rookie draft. And you've got Aaron Rodgers. Now, this is a 1QB league, but your league mates in this particular league, they draft and pick up quarterbacks like it's a super flex, which I find to be incredibly odd, but it is what it is. How do you feel if you go into 2021 with just Aaron Rodgers? And I believe also on this team, if I remember correctly, you have Cam. And I think I saw Sam Darnold on here. Is that correct?
Those two, as well as Old Man Rivers, or who I'm rocking currently at the quarterback.
Man, I think Uncle Phil's going to head back to Alabama, Northern Florida, Southern Alabama, and raise those 19 kids. But if he leaves, are you cool going into 2021 with just Aaron Rodgers and Sam Darnold? Or are you going to consider making a move for a quarterback in the rookie draft?
So after this season, I'm just as confident in Rodgers as I was beforehand. So on both the previous podcasts that we had talked about, Aaron Rodgers, my whole mindset hasn't changed. He hasn't slowed down at all. This is his best statistical season he's had in the last 6 or 7 years, I'd say, somewhere in there. And he's did it with still just Devontae Adams and then the up-and-coming Robert Tonyan. So for Aaron Rodgers, I'm still comfortable. This was what we discussed basically for his peak season, where you're looking at that QB3 finish. But I'm expecting more of that QB 6 to 10 range going into next season, which the rest of my roster, I'm okay with that. But what I do want to do more than anything, I've been having the conversation with the guy that has him, is I want Herbert, and I want him really bad. And I want him to be my young quarterback going into to take over for the next 10 years once Rodgers does start to decline. And hell, I can even throw him in this year and probably switch him out for the games that Rodgers I'm not comfortable with. Like if he plays, I don't know what his schedule looks like next year, but if he plays the Rams like he's about to this year, probably wouldn't play him. But what is in my favor for Justin Herbert and acquiring him is the person that has Justin Herbert also has Kyler Murray. And that is the one linchpin where he's extremely weak at wide receiver and he already has Kyler Murray. So I've been talking to him for like 2 months. I tried to trade before Herbert started blowing up after that second game that he had. I was trying to trade for him, but he was a little bit hesitant too, basically because he was tanking this year, trying to get the first overall pick, which he did. But I'm pretty sure I can get Herbert. I just have to keep pushing it. So that's my plan. If I don't get him, I will be taking a quarterback most likely at the 111.
Well, I think the first thing you should consider, you said he has Kyler Murray and Herbert, right?
Correct.
And I know in a one QB league, I'm going to be, but you have to understand, guys, context is king. And from having many conversations with Dallas about this roster, even though it's a one QB league, the owners of this particular league, they treat quarterbacks like it's a super flex. So what I would do, if he's got Kyler, I would say, I tell you what, I'll give you the stack. I'll give you the DeAndre Kyler stack for Justin Herbert. And people are going to say, Memphis, you're crazy. I don't care. He's going to be 29.
Yeah.
That is the downward cycle for wide receivers. He could have another good year or two. And that's fine. He's under contract. But I'm looking at your roster. You've got DK Metcalf. You've got Allen Robinson. You've got T. Higgins. And, you know, Rob Anderson's a nice flex play. I can't wait to see what LaVisca Chenault is with both Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence there in Jacksonville. And don't even bother adding me if you think for 1 second he's going to draft Justin Fields over over Trevor Lawrence just to get the step in. So you've got plenty, and I would much rather see you trade Hop for Justin Herbert, and then use that 111 and what at that range in a one QB league. Even though guys will be scooping up Trevor Lawrence, will be scooping up Justin Fields. That's just going to push someone like Jalen Waddle, like Rondale Moore, like Rashad Bateman. That's going to push a guy like that down to you at that 111, and that's what I would rather see you do. I would rather see you move T. Higgins in 2021 into your starting lineup with Allen Robinson and with DK Metcalf, and then have that rookie marinating and growing on your bench, and get rid of the older guy while you can get peak value. Then you would have Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert, and you can look at matchups. You know, for whatever we think about Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos, he's a very good defensive coach, and you don't necessarily want Justin Herbert, but it's great to have him. You know, he's going to have the Kansas City game. He's going to have the Raiders games. He's going to have games where you're going to want to throw him in your lineup. But I think that gives you a lot of flexibility to have Herbert and Aaron Rodgers. And then eventually at some point Rodgers is going to decline and you know his production is going to go south. But I think that's a great starting point for you. I know people don't want to hear that, but man, you've got one of my top five wide receivers in a startup, and then in DK Metcalf, you have a guy that I love. I'm fascinated to see where Allen Robinson goes in free agency. I hope he chooses wisely. I hope he picks a.
He has to.
You know, my dream landing spot, people will laugh at this, but I really don't care. My dream landing spot for him, or really a lot of these wide receivers, is New York. I know a lot of people are down on Daniel Jones, but I'm still a Daniel Jones believer. You know, he was top seven in rushing yards this year and barely played like 12 games. And I think Allen Robinson would be the great alpha in that wide receiver. It would allow Darius Slayton to assume his natural role as a wide receiver too. You kick Sterling Shepard into the flex. You Evan Ingram as your tight end. You get a healthy Saquon Barkley, and I think that would be a very good role for Allen Robinson. So I'm cool there, and he's younger. He's a year and a half younger than DeAndre Hopkins, and I think you can get really, really similar production. So I think that's the bait. I think that's the bait as a fisherman that you put out there on the line. Would you move DeAndre? I mean, I think the best way to go about it would be to offer DeAndre for Justin Herbert and say a second. And then when the owner comes back and says, well, say, how about this? You keep the second, and let's just go DeAndre for Herbert straight up. You pull the trigger there?
Yeah, I definitely would. My trade that I made earlier to get DeAndre and DeAndre was more about Swift than it was Hopkins.
Well, I think that's a good way to go. And that would give you a really strong, like I said, give you a really strong young wide receiver group with DK and with Allen Robinson. I mean, he would be your elder statesman. I'm saying that in air quotes for those not watching on YouTube. With him being 28, Jarvis Landry and Robbie Anderson on your bench are always going to be worth more on their actual production than a fellow Dynasty GM will give you for them in trade. So I would much rather have them. And then LaVisca. I cannot wait to see what Urban Meyer is going to do and what he's going to scheme up with a guy like LaVisca, like DJ Chark. My fear is that with all those draft picks, they could bring in some competition. But at the end of the day, man, that's an exciting, young, and dynamic. And that's the word that I tell a lot of our Patreon group and our listener group at the Dynasty Warzone, is you're looking for dynamic. The last thing you want is you don't want to carry something that either A, isn't putting dynasty points or fantasy points in your lineup on a week-to-week basis when you need them, and you don't want to roster things or players that don't have an ability to go up in value. You know, as much as I love Jarvis, he's about peaked in value. So instead of trying to trade him for 50 cents on the dollar, if you will, you're better off just keeping him. Playing him in your flex position when you have a bye, or playing him in your flex position when you have an injury. So I think from a wide receiver standpoint, you're in very, very good shape. Let's talk about the position that everyone loves. And since everyone loves it, I'll go ahead and mention that on Monday on the Dynasty Warzone channel, we'll be drafting rookie running backs from the 2019, 2020, and 2021 classes and talking a lot about these young guys. But you've got Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor. Then it kind of gets a little murky after that. You've got Todd Gurley. You've got Alexander Mattison, which is a great guy to have on the back of your roster when you own Dalvin Cook. And then you have out of nowhere, undrafted free agent, deluxe, Salvon Ahmed from the Miami Dolphins. So to me, you feel very strong at the top with three of the best running backs in all of Dynasty. But how do you feel about your running back group?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you analysis-wise on this one. I wanted to get younger. My whole goal was to get any of the running backs from this rookie class, basically the top four guys through Cam Akers, and try and get one of them for some kind of package, including James Conner, was my whole goal basically during the season. I knew I wasn't going to like what he was doing at the end of the season. I knew I wasn't going to like his offseason this year because odds are he's not going to get a starting job. And if he does, he didn't perform this year with a starting job. So That was my whole goal. I will agree with you. Once I'm done with those top three, I do not like what I have. Todd Gurley is going to die on my team. We kind of talked about that on the last one. I've accepted that. I'm not going to give him away because there's just something inside me that is telling me that the Jets are going to sign him this offseason and just going to make that mistake and somehow he's going to be viable again. But for me, that's the position I would like to address at the tail end of the first round. I don't know exactly what running backs are going to be available. Based off of our league, we do like running backs typically more than wide receivers. But the thing is, a lot of our guys don't go super in-depth into research regarding anything past the top, usually three. So it's kind of a crapshoot after that. For me, if I'm able to walk away, kind of an unpopular opinion, with either one of the UNC running backs, I'm going to be happy. I like Michael Carter as much, if not more, than Javonte Williams. And that's kind of an unpopular opinion, but honestly, I like a lot of what Mac Brown is doing in UNC right now. My biggest dynasty guy that I want this year out of anyone is actually De'Ami Brown, but we can talk about that later. But Michael Carter is actually who I would probably be targeting at the tail end of the first round at that 111 pick. Odds are he's there. Odds are he's not going to be there for my second round pick. And it's all going to be dependent on where these guys land, but that's going to be my target as long as he gets good draft capital.
All right. Well, the one guy in this group, and this is going to maybe sound like blasphemy because some people, he is their RB1. But for me, he's going into year five. He's got the ACL. He's missed a bunch of games. Yep. He misses. I'm looking to move Dalvin Cook. You know, he had a very nice year 2 years ago in 2019. He had a very good year again. But he continues to miss time. And if I can reset that age clock, as crazy as it is to say, Dalvin Cook is going into his fifth year of his career. We like those running backs on the rookie contract. Once they go into contract number two, typically it's time to move off of them. So I would be going to one of the owners who has the 101 or the 102. And I would be looking to acquire that. The problem is we're in a very vicious cycle right now where veteran players are severely underappreciated assets because they can't put fantasy points in your lineup right now. And we're watching the Bowl Championship Series, and we're watching I don't think it's even the BCS anymore, but you know what I'm saying. We're watching the National Championship game. But, yeah, I'm looking to move Dalvin Cook to get one of those top two picks. I don't know that you'll get that, but that's where I want to be. I want to try to turn him into Najee Harris. I want to turn him into Travis Etienne. I would actually, you mentioned this name earlier. I would go to the Cam Akers owner and see what I can get for Dalvin Cook. Cam Akers plus what? Can I, you know, maybe you don't move DeAndre Hopkins to the Kyler Murray owner. Maybe you move DeAndre and Dalvin for Cam Akers plus a first and maybe another young up and coming player. Again, too often, I think as dynasty GMs, we get caught up in the name on the back of the jersey. And at the end of the day, we're looking for points. That's all we need. You know, names on jerseys do not win championships. Points on your weekly roster do. And if you could move him and you could move these two guys for similar, and again, I'm willing to take a 2021 slight. I'm not giving things away, but a slight step back in a yearly production and a point per game. Maybe I give up the 20 points per game that Dalvin scores for 17. And maybe I give up the 17 that DeAndre scores for 15. And I'm willing to give up that 5, maybe 6 points. I'm willing to give that up in 2021 because those assets are going to continue to blossom and feed my roster going forward. 5 points sounds like a lot, and it could be the difference between a win or a loss. But as you know, if you've played head-to-head dynasty fantasy football, as long as a lot of us have, how often do you really lose by 5 points? And those are the kind of moves that I'm looking to make because it's going to keep your roster young. If you were able to acquire Cam Akers, I would even go as far as say you have the 111, correct?
Correct.
I would send the 111 and Dalvin Cook for Cam Akers and like the 106. It doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't sound like enough. but go look at Cam Akers' touches in the Rams' offense. And I can make a real case that the Rams' offense, if it's not better, it's at least equal to the Minnesota Vikings' offense. So, yeah. And if you look at the snap percentage and the snap share of Cam Akers late in the season, man, you're starting to see a bell cow in the making. You're looking at a guy. Here's a stat a lot of people don't realize. Over his last five starts, Cam Akers has averaged more than three targets per game. Doesn't sound like a lot until you start realizing he's getting about 18 rushes a game as well. So they're really starting to bring him along as a bell cow option. So, yeah, if I can move the guy going into year five for the guy moving into year two and move up half a round, because if you get into that top six from the top 11, then you're guaranteeing yourself a much higher quality player. You've got the two running backs. You've got Etienne and you've got Harris. You've got Ja'Marr Chase. You've got Devonta Smith. You've got Jalen Waddle. And then that sixth overall pick, who knows? Maybe it's Trey Sermon. Maybe Trey Sermon lands in a spot we really like. Maybe it's Javonta Williams. Maybe he lands in Pittsburgh. You know, Etienne and Harris are clearly the class of this rookie draft class. Yeah. But there are some great landing spots out there. I tweeted this out the other day. I think it was Thursday or Friday, the 13th or the 14th, that Seattle – and Pittsburgh are going to mint two brand new RB1s in 2021. The Steelers fired Randy Fichtner, the offensive coordinator. The Seahawks fired Brian Schottenheimer over there in Seattle, because both teams are wanting to reestablish the run. Those are good offenses. And even with Ben being limited, still going to be some very good opportunities. So those are some of the reasons why I would be looking to move off DeAndre Swift. I think you, excuse me, not Swift. I'm looking at his picture, but it's Dalvin Cook. Todd Gurley, I kind of agree. You're just stuck with him. Before we get into your tight ends, I'm kind of looking at Salvan Ahmed. If I could move him to the Miles Gaskin owner for anything, because Miami, with their draft capital, it's about nothing's a guarantee in this world, but it's about 99% sure that Miami takes a running back in this upcoming class with all those draft picks.
100%, yeah.
And if they wind up, then it would depend on what kind, but why risk it? Hey, give me a third for, you know, just tell that fellow GM, hey, you've got Gaskin. Hey, take Ahmed, complete the Miami backfield, and I'll take a third, and we'll all just move on down the road.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note of a trade with Dalvin Cook, I think I could get more than you think I could in this specific league for him, just because of what he's put up, which is great. The owner of the 101 is the person that has Justin Herbert.
Hey, man, listen, I'll give you – listen, I know you value quarterbacks, but I will give you Dalvin Cook in the 111 for Justin Herbert in the 101. And if you walk away from that deal with the opportunity of choice – because for me, I know my good buddy Ray GQ, Ray Garvin, at Ray GQ on Twitter. I know he's a Najee Harris fan. I was listening to Dane Brugler of The Athletic. He's a big Travis Etienne guy. So those two are clearly in a tier all by themselves. But if you get the 101, you get to kind of lay out a little bit and see who goes where in the draft. Yeah. Maybe you have them 1A and 1B. And maybe one lands in a great offense and one lands in a sketchy offense. Maybe that's your tiebreaker, but having that 101 allows you to make some decisions. So I 100% endorse any kind of move that's going to get you that, because you're going to get a young stud running back. You're going to get the quarterback you want. Now, you've got good quarterback production. But, you know, the one thing about playing fantasy football, and I call it, you know, you're familiar with Herm Edwards, right? Used to coach the Jets.
Correct.
Now I think he coaches Arizona State. His rule of one. One chain. One house. One car. I think every Dynasty GM should be allowed to have one player on your roster that even if you have to overpay for, if it makes you happy, if it brings you joy to root for that guy every week, For me personally, that's probably either Terry McLaren or Cooper Kupp. I really like the guys as well as really like the points they score. So everybody is entitled to one. Now, you can't go more than one, but I think everybody's entitled to one. So if that gets you Justin Herbert, someone that you're going to enjoy watching and enjoy, which is weird because you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I find that highly odd. But hey, you
do. No. Yeah, trust me. Watching that first game that he came out, when we were like, oh, yeah, we get the rookie. Let's see how this goes. And it was the rookie that we were all like, oh, he's going to be bad. He wasn't that good. Like, that's why he was the third one. Everyone was just, like, basically shit-talking him. But watching him just absolutely light us up when our defense was playing as well as it was at the beginning of the season, we were like, all right, this is going to be a problem for the next couple of years if this keeps up. So. Yeah.
I was doing some research earlier for something that I'm preparing for a different show down the road, but I was looking at the rookie QBs, and Justin Herbert dominated every category. Now, touchdowns is one thing, but touchdowns are fluky. Yes, I know he set the rookie touchdown record, but out of all the rookie quarterbacks, he dominated in things that matter to me, like QBR, because it includes your legs and your overall performance as a QB. He beat Tua and Burrow also in QB rating, yards per attempt, yards per completion, air yards per attempt. I mean, literally, you name I don't say high end, but a completion percentage. You can go from basic to intermediate to advanced stats. And Justin Herbert dominated in all of them. And I love the guy. Now, one thing I want to talk about before I get you out of here is your tight end position. Now, you have Noah Fant, but you actually have someone on your bench that last year I loved. And I tell you what I've seen out of him the last month is the chemistry and the connection between Austin Hooper and Baker Mayfield. That Stefanski offense, if you go back to Minnesota, it's been tight end heavy, but it had some good weeks and some good years for Kyle Rudolph. In that particular offense, and you also have the future guy, in my opinion, I think in 2 years, maybe even as soon as 2022, Cleveland is going to have to make some hard financial decisions because by then, the extension for Myles Garrett will kick in. They'll have to be paying Baker around $30-plus million a year. And
Chubb.
And Nick Chubb, and there will be decisions to be made, and I could see – Austin Hooper allowed to seek his employment elsewhere. And a young man, and this goes for all of you listening, Harrison Bryant. You know, he had some flashes. And I like Cole Kmet with the Bears as well. Mm-hmm. But, dude, Harrison Bryant also flashed quite a bit. I wished he had landed anywhere else but on the team with, when he was drafted, the team with the most expensive tight end in the league. But you've also got Noah Fant. How do you feel with Fant as your tight end one on this roster?
So we had talked about this a little bit the first time, too. I did exactly what you said was going to happen, which I kind of anticipated. I was playing tight end roulette all season, putting Higby in, putting Fant in, putting Hooper in. Come about week 6 or 7, I got so fed up with it. I just said, I'm starting Noah Fant for the rest of the season because every time I put one guy in based off of the matchup, Higbee would get me 1 point or he would have a catchless game. I think that's what officially set me off. It was like week 6, he had a catchless game. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I ended up putting in Fant. If he could stay healthy, he would be a top 4 tight end based off of what he's produced when he has played an entire game, because even when Sutton was in the offense last year, he was still producing. When Sutton went out, he's seen a huge uptick in his targets. Now, granted, that's probably going to come down a little bit when Sutton comes back in the offense and once they get more comfortable. But if you can do that with Drew Lock throwing you the balls, and now granted, Fant needs to work on his hands. Same with Jerry Jeudy. A lot of the wide receiver options basically there do. But with the target share that he's getting and his talent, I do like him. I still want an upgrade. That is the one piece that is, in my eyes at least, holding me back from the team that won the championship, that's 12-1. He's sitting with Mark Andrews and Hunter Henry are his top two options at tight end. And at every other position, I'm comparable or better other than that one. So he's my main competition that I'm looking at over the next couple of years, basically. And so I needed to see an upgrade in that. The target that I'm going for is TJ Hawkinson. I want him just from his pure consistency standpoint. And if they lose Galladay, which I expect them to, he's going to be the number one target there, along with a rookie, odds are. So for me, I'm trying to get Hawkinson. I don't know if you said his name or not, but I do have Juju on my team.
It's funny you say that, because one of our people watching live on YouTube, and I know this guy, he's a buddy of mine, his name is David. Yep. His move was like, move Juju plus for Herbert. And I love that. Wait until Juju re-signed. Let's say, you know, if Juju signs in Houston and the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson work out their differences and you get Juju going to Houston, maybe you could keep Hopkins for now, move Juju, maybe Juju and a little plus for Herbert, then go back and move Hopkins for a draft pick or a running back. That would allow you to move something else. So I just wanted to share that comment from David in the YouTube chat. I didn't think that was too bad at all. I'm going to take his really good comment of move Juju, and I'm going to tell you to wait just a hair until – because it's closer than you think. As you and I record this, we record this on January 14th. Free agency in the NFL, gang, for those listening or watching along with us, is – St. Patrick's Day. That is 2 months and 3 days away. It will be here before you know it. So not a bad piece of business brought up by David. So I wanted to get that out there. One thing I would recommend is just you can't overpay for a good tight end. Is this tight end premium? Is it just standard PPR for tight end?
Yeah, it's tight end premium.
Yeah, I'm selling out. Another move I would do, and again, roast me at DWZ Memphis on Twitter. I would be looking to try to get one of the big tight ends. And the problem is, I really like Travis Kelce. The problem is Travis Kelce's 31 years old. The good thing is, you and I could sit here and like we could write out all the pros and cons. You could be like, Memphis, he's a badass. I'm going to be like, he's 31. You'd be like, he's attached to Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, he'll be 32 in October. And we could literally go back and forth, and we could fill up, you know, four or five check boxes a piece on Travis Kelce. I wouldn't be afraid to see what the price is on George Kittle. You know, I'll give you know, I would just – sometimes being honest with your league mates is surprisingly beneficial. Hey, what do I have to add to Noah Fant to get George Kittle? And you know what? You got to be prepared for the answer. You don't want to tip your mitt just like you wouldn't in a poker game. Okay, so you're looking, okay. You just got to figure it out. Then you got to sit there and do a cost-benefit analysis. Is the cost to acquire George, you know, Kittle, is it worth the benefit at that cost to my roster? So, listen, man, we're getting up on that time, but what would be? I'm gonna send you a three questions before we get you out of here, okay? And thank you again for coming back on. Number one question. The number one. I think we already know the answer, but I'd love to hear it from you. Number one target to acquire this offseason?
Justin Herbert.
Okay, and I think we have a solid plan. And that's cool. Remember, guys, for those listening along with us, this is not just a private conversation between two dudes. Go get your guy. Here's the thing. For those that know me, know I'm not a Baker Mayfield guy. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't roster Baker Mayfield. But you know what? Again, I love Terry McLaurin. And when I have Terry McLaurin in my roster, I'm very happy because I love rooting for him, the person. So that would be your guy. That would be your guy that you could go get. I don't want to say an overpay, but if you pay retail plus 10%, you're going to be glad you did because you're going to enjoy this Dynasty League a lot more. Number one guy you have to get off this roster without giving away, meaning a guy that you want to move, get a fair return on investment, but a guy that you feel like you have to get off this roster.
That one's a little bit harder. in the same vein that we kind of talked about, it would probably be DeAndre Hopkins just because of the age. Other than that, I'm pretty content with a lot of my team. So, I'd probably have to be DeAndre Hopkins. If there's one person that I want to move to get younger at, it would probably be that.
I would agree. I would rank the guys that gots to go. I'll call this segment going forward. I'll name it after this conversation. Guys that gots to go. DeAndre's mm-hmm. gots to go number one, and Dalvin Cook would be gots to go number two. The nice thing of it is that you don't have to give those guys away, and mm-hmm. those guys finished plenty strong, and they have enough name cachet in the dynasty world to get you. You're probably not going to get 100% dollar for dollar on their dynasty yeah. value, but if you could get 90%, even 85, you know, you'll be glad that you did. And I know it sounds crazy, but the game moves fast. Remember, guys, the NFL stands for not for long. All right, last yeah. question. I don't know what do you, I'm going to give you a question about a guy on your roster. What do you think about Jonathan Taylor, and where do you yeah. see him going in startups?
Jonathan Taylor, big fan. We talked about it a little bit last time too when we talked about target wise who I was going for. He was my favorite running back coming in based off of the fact that durability wise and size wise he was the most ideal guy that was coming out. Swift to me is still a little bit small. He got banged up a little bit this year, a couple of different things, including a mystery illness that we still never really got clarification on. But Swift was a little bit small. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I didn't trust. Still don't personally, but it's fine. Some Chiefs nepotism right there.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for those that don't follow along with me on the Dynasty Warzone, he is at cost. I want to make sure I preface that at cost. He is my number one off-season buy in Dynasty. So just I don't want to try to bend your opinion, but he's yeah. a stone cold buy for me. If you look at another guy, by the way, since we're just two guys talking, another guy that mm-hmm. I'm looking to buy, by the way, is from your Chiefs, is Mecole Hardman. So the Chiefs, as you and I sit here and talk over the projected 2021 salary cap, they're over by about $16 million, and their pending mm-hmm. free agents are Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Darrell Williams, and Lev Bell. Guess who stands the benefit for those guys leaving town? It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Mecole Hardman. Plus, on top of all that, Mecole Hardman is one Tyreek Hill off-the-field incident, one Tyreek Hill ACL away from getting wide receiver one overall type volume from arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. So those are a couple of guys that I'm looking to acquire. I'm sorry, I did not mean to untrack your love of Jonathan Taylor.
You're good. Yeah, no, I'd agree. On the Chiefs note, pretty sure we're going to be taking a wide receiver at some point in the first two rounds again, kind of like what we did the last couple of years. So just don't be shocked if we pick up like my guy De'Ami Brown, like we talked about a little bit earlier. That's who, oh man, I'm in love with that guy. Anyone who's listening or is watching the future, go and look up De'Ami Brown highlights from Sam the Howitzer Howell himself. I'm gonna fall down that rabbit hole too at some point, going after another UNC quarterback, and it's going to destroy my life after Trubisky, but it's going to be okay. But back on the JT conversation, when it comes to startup value, he's going to get overdrafted. We had the conversation last year about Nyheim Hines, and you didn't think his role was going to be that important. I also didn't think it was going to be as big as it was this year. Now, you can call that rookie working into it, gaining confidence, because JT didn't look very good at the end of the year. But even over the last couple games, when JT was still rolling, Nyheim Hines was still getting those passes. So that's just an aspect where we're wanting him to be that dynasty running back, one overall, the three overall, the four overall, somewhere in that range. I still think his catching is going to be capped. That's going to be the one thing that I think is going to be slightly, you're going to be overpaying, but he's going to be super young. That offensive line's really good, although you did just take a hit with that left tackle. So, you know, it's fine. Yeah, not that big of a deal. But, hey, you still have the biggest badass GM out there. Did you hear what he said in today's presser?
I did not. Enlighten me.
Okay, so he's being interviewed, and they're talking about the quarterback position. And the quote, I'm going to butcher it. You'll have to look it up afterwards. But basically the quote said, "Well, yeah, I could take one now to appease you guys, but in a year or two when he sucks, I'm going to be the first one out the door, aren't I?" And he just said that just stone cold, straight to the reporters. Everyone like kind of awkwardly chuckled. And I was like, that's Ballard for you.
Dude, there are other analysts in this space that will question Chris Ballard. Here's all I can tell you, gang. The Colts had four all pros. They had a special teams all pro. I think his name was George Odom. They had Quentin Nelson. They had Darius Leonard, and they had DeForest Buckner. All those guys were drafted or traded for by Chris Ballard. Here in Indianapolis, my friend, we say in Ballard we trust. I'm rooting for him to bring Matt Stafford. I'm rooting for him to bring a Carson Wentz. I'm rooting for him to bring a Sam Darnold type into the fold. Sometimes rookie picks aren't all they're cracked up to be, but I will say this, man. I build my dynasty rosters around what I call tent pole players. You know, when you put up a tent, you have to have those four stakes in the ground to build your tent around. And man, you've got them. You've got the two running backs. You've got Swift. You've got Taylor. You've got one of my top five wide receivers. And I like Aaron Rodgers. He's fine. But if you manage to get Justin Herbert on this, man, your tent poles are set. You have the four. Then you can kind of fill in the rest of these guys. You can mix in a Jarvis Landry. You can mix in some of the guys that are already on this roster. And there's a reason why you were able to go 12-1. Oh, by the way, another name to remember with that 111, if you wind up keeping the 111, Kyle Pitts. I don't know that he'll fall that far in a 1QB tight end premium, but if he does, that's a name. But Dallas, I know that you're on Twitter. You're at Salad Galore with two L's, S-A-L-L-A-D, Salad Galore. What else you got going on? I know you do a little pod with some of your former fraternity brothers, and a lot going on there in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah. So still doing the pod occasionally with my buddy Dalton. Actually, over this season, started writing for the Podcasting Network. I've just done a couple of articles primarily on rookies. That's the one thing I've noticed since I started Dynasty is I have a pretty good eye for the guys that are coming in. Gut feeling wise, that may be a little bit controversial. So like when it went with T. Higgins as my wide receiver two, that wasn't a very popular opinion, but you could argue he's somewhere around 2-4 in this class that came out when people were just tossing him towards the back end of the first round, that type of thing. So I do a rookie review, a rookie recap throughout the season, basically. I've been doing that. I'll be doing a little bit more analysis going into the offseason on rookies in general. But other than that, I am getting ready to start up classes again here in about 2 weeks. And I get a tattoo tomorrow, and I'm just hanging out, surviving COVID like the rest of us.
Well, there are three rules that you have to live by. Number one, always be there on time, no matter what you're doing. That's the one thing Tom Coughlin got right in all the time that I ever follow Tom Coughlin. If you're not 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. Number two, always carry some cash. It doesn't have to be like a Tony Soprano bankroll, but always carry some cash. Step number three is always get to the tattoo parlor on time. Those are words to live by. Listen, his name is Dallas. You can follow along. Dallas, man, we'll get you back on. We're doing some mock draft Mondays. We've got running backs coming up. I think we've already got our guest nailed down. We just did wide receivers, but maybe we'll get you on and talk quarterbacks. We're going to be drafting quarterbacks from the last three classes. So we'll be, you know, looking through the 5 to 6 in this class, plus the guys we saw in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Need to get you booked to come on over at the Dynasty War Zone. Check us out. But man, Dallas is a great guy and a good follow. Again, at Salad, that's with two L's, S-A-L-L-A-D, Salad Galore on Twitter. You can follow me at DWZ Memphis. And until next time, thanks for tuning in to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. And remember, the roster you have today, it's not a life sentence. We can fix it. We can make it better. We can get you on track to a 12-1 season, just like my man Dallas here. But until next time, be good to each other, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, guys, Nick Burnett here. Just wanted to kind of give some information on why I joined the Patreon, why I'm part of the Dynasty Warzone team. Downloaded the Dynasty Warzone podcast. It took one day. Joined the Patreon. Reached out to Memphis about a situation with one of my rosters. And the kind of feedback I got was, hey, Nick, why don't you give me a call? We went down my roster, and he helped me pull off a couple moves that put me ahead when I thought I was going to be in rebuild mode this year. And that's just part of what comes with the Patreon. Trade talks, just good interaction with guys that love fantasy football. Whether it's 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always going to be fantasy football talk, whether it's redraft, whether it's dynasty. I joined a couple leagues with the Patreon members, and it's the same thing. Even while we're drafting, we're still shooting ideas at each other. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, pause the podcast now, join the Patreon, and join a great fantasy football group, but more like a fantasy football family.